Good morning and Christian greetings to each of you. It's good to be with you and learn to know you better, but also the nature of the work this weekend lends itself to being good to be with you in that way as well and seeing the work of the church go forward. It's a blessing to work in that part of the work as well, and I'm glad to be here with you and share what hopefully will be a blessing to you. And the message is signed to me. The first is here, cultivating mutual trust in the leadership team and also between leadership and congregations. And you know by looking at the very title that these blend together very much. We are looking at, we're in a weekend here where we're looking at leadership specifically and focusing upon that, but it goes together as far as we relate to the brotherhood and the trust level and the factor there. It's just a package that is together. And I thought of it as we were challenged with the song, "Who is on the Lord's side?" If we are one of the Lord's children, we will say, "I'm on His side." But this message is largely to do with interpersonal relationships and being what we ought to be in that way, in truth and integrity and in character. And that's sometimes where the more testy things come our way. And there might be two brethren who say, "I'm on the Lord's side," but who differ on where they're going in the direction of the thing in focus. And so there is where we need the wisdom of the Lord to be upfront and honest and open before the Lord, first of all, and one another. All right, cultivating is often used in the raising of crops. It is you're taking it from a non-farmer, so farmers probably relate to cultivating more than others, but knowing enough that the part of cultivating would be to loosen or to break up the soil around the growing plants. When that soil is made loose or broken up, the growth of the plant is improved. There's potential there that would not have been experienced had that ground not been cultivated and broken up. As it relates to the message this morning, as it relates to people, of course, cultivate means to improve by labor, care, and study. It is to refine the mind. It is to make better, to improve, to encourage growth within, and especially as it relates to the body of Christ, encouraging growth within ourselves, to encourage growth within the body of Christ. It is to develop. And it is of great importance that each one in the church senses the need to cultivate. There are times we hardly know what to do when the ground seems hard around a person's life. You've been there. When is the time to speak up, to do something, to show concern? According to Christ's care for the church, which is our pattern that we have, and our care within ourselves being learned from Him, we cannot overlook that hard ground and be what we ought to be in the area of truth and integrity within the church. I believe it is a time that's important. And for a right outcome to all of this, there must be trust, which of course is included very much in this message. So whether it be ministry or whether it be the congregation, we come gently at a time like this with our hoe, if you please, the tool that you're using. Remembering the object of this is to help this plant to grow. We're not here to chop this plant down or to harm it. When helping is the mindset of the one with the hoe, the Lord will bless that. And a trust will be the result and the outcome of that. Now getting to the part of the message, mutual trust in the leadership. Definitely a lot hinges on proper ministerial relationships. And so this is good for all of us who have been called in this way. We learn from experience at times, and there's not the perfect one in the ministry here today to speak on this, because again we learn as we go along and desire to be the minister that God wants us to be. But this word trust is just such a primary word, trust and integrity. Where there is trust, leadership is pulling together. I'd like to have us turn to Psalm 133. You're probably familiar with this psalm. And while it might not mention trust, it certainly mentions harmony. And the two, as we think about the cultivating mutual trust, go together. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. We see in this short psalm the beauty of harmony. Harmony is good. It is pleasant. It is precious. When there is mutual trust among church leaders, those good and pleasant blessings spread throughout the congregation. Also, the book of Philippians. I'm just going to read one verse from there, Philippians 1:27. Definitely is a verse that goes with this subject, where it challenges us, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. To get to that place, there needs to be mutual trust in leadership. And it's so well for us to remember this is about the faith of the gospel, that we are doing what we need to do, sometimes going the extra mile to do that because of the importance of the faith of the gospel. So this talks about striving together. You stand in one fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together, pulling together, working together. A few points on thoughts related to that question then. How does the leadership team strive together? Well, first, I believe very important is by having a submissive attitude. When leadership is sensitive to the ideas and the feelings of each other, there will be trust. Different personalities, no doubt, which is good. Different ideas sometimes, which is good. But each one being sensitive, no one feeling I have a know-it-all type attitude, I have it figured out, not leaving room to the ones who are quieter and who have many good things that they have learned along life's way as well. That's submission and very important. And when there is that sensitivity shown to each other, to the ideas and the feelings that the others have, there will be trust that develops from that kind of a relationship. There must be a give and take within the boundaries, of course, of biblical principles. Submissive attitude. Secondly, leadership must be humble. Probably I've heard this numerous times already. I don't think it's, if it's said many more times, it cannot be overemphasized, the need of humility. For trust to be and to remain, humility must be present. It can appear for a while like somebody might be a person of humility, but if they truly are just that way because things are going well or whatever reason, if they truly are not that kind of a person, it will show up sometime along the way. So it's a part of developing and growing more like Christ and developing that humility in our lives as we go along, and it must be present for trust and for the right kind of communication, as we'll look at in a little bit. So yes, leadership must be humble. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:5-6, "Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Striving together means, thirdly, striving together means proper trust. And that this is to do with communication. Leadership must have healthy communication for there to be trust. And you know when communication starts going the wrong way. It's when there's stresses and strains. And that's the time that people start to slack up on the communication. It's probably the time it should be more than ever, but it's the way it works in many, many people's lives. The communication gets lessened. Communication, healthy communication, trust all go together. So how do we communicate in the right way and continue to do that regardless of the stresses before us? First, we communicate as friends. Friends, you know how it is as you relate to a friend, anyone. When you consider someone a friend, you try to relate to them. You try to understand where they're coming from, what they're saying. If they don't understand, you ask them, they ask you a question. And you come to the place where you finally, I guess it doesn't always happen, we sometimes still are not sure, but most times we want to at least know that we've learned all that we needed to arrive at to communicate properly. So many unfortunate things have come out of misunderstood or half-finished conversations where someone stopped communicating. Communicate as friends. Secondly, communicate in trust. And that means we continually are working at building trust. And to build trust, We must be transparent. Be above board. Don't do something, don't act upon something, and then ask if it's okay. Don't spring surprises on your fellow ministry, such as refraining from communion the morning of communion, and that's an example. Where was the communication up to then? You see, those things express a lack of communication. And that's very selfish, let alone the part of communication to the rest of the brotherhood as well, to do that because of what that does to the tenor of communion and the sacredness of that as well. It's an interruption that should have been handled beforehand and could have been, I believe, through communication. Also, when and if ministry changes their mind from a prior position that they had, that they felt, communication along the way is to be expected. It's not fair to all of a sudden, one day, realize that this person has totally changed their position and there wasn't a communication along the way. I'm not saying we never change our minds, but there needs to be communication along the way for that to go to prove that the trust factor with each other. Trust. Confidence in one another. We must be very careful not to jump to conclusions about the motives of our fellow ministers. Those are things that can happen. Of course, when there's a lack of trust, assuming starts to enter in. And you know the sad stories of when assuming has entered in and the things that will do. Because people start to figure that they pretty much have it figured out. And many times it was because of filling in some of the blanks that they really weren't sure about. Assuming because maybe whatever it might have been. Beware of the minister who is a church detective. And I know we need to be mindful and we need to work at problems. But I'm talking about the kind of person that thinks that he has become all wise in solving cases. Brethren, the challenge is for all of us. We are not detectives. We are shepherds of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13, where charity is described, in verse 5, we find the phrase, thinketh no evil. And that means we do not keep score of wrongs. After those wrongs have been corrected, we have communicated about them properly, and they have been taken care of. We don't use them against the situation before us. We do not keep score of wrongs. We do not reason out evil, which would be to jump to conclusions or that are negative, thinking the worst of a person. Fourth, how does leadership strive together? It is with trust. We talked about that. It is with friendship. We've talked about that. It is with openness. We've talked about that. But also along with this goes forgiveness. Who has not failed in the area of being what they ought to be in the areas that we've looked at and in the areas of communicating as we ought to? Who has not spoken too quickly, too sharply, too accusing? And realizing that and accepting that's how it is, that's how it will be, is where this important area of forgiveness comes in as it relates to trust one to another. Trust will be cultivated when there are apologies along the way. And forgiveness, of course, is included with the apologies. Part of mutual trust within the leadership and others as well. Also very important is the aspect of confidentiality. A minister who desires to cultivate trust must be trusted to be confidential. And so you say, well, you're saying communicate and now be confidential. Well, that's a thin line sometimes. But I think we all know the importance of those things that are just better to be confidential, and sometimes that's where it needs to stay. And the importance of, I mean, I guess the disruption when we found out that somehow it's out on the street, as we say sometimes. How did it get there? So this part of trust and confidentiality is very important as it relates to right relationships. What a blessing it is to serve on a ministerial team that is cultivating integrity and trust. That's one of the greatest blessings that can be experienced. And I appreciate so much Brother Louis and Brother Nelson, three of us serving there at home together. But especially Brother Louis and I have served together for approximately 25 years, and just enjoyed the blessings of working with him, and appreciated our friendship and serving together over the years. And we certainly have realized the need of each other along life's way, and not every day was it total agreement and those things, but I don't remember a period of time when there was a wedge between us or something that was out of place, and I thank the Lord for that. And so, as it relates to wherever you're from this morning, most of you, of course, are from here, and I appreciate your church here as I know it. And so, if it's to this congregation or whatever congregation you may be from, if you have a blessing list, add to that list a ministry that works together. That's a blessing. If trust is absent in the leadership team, the blessings of brotherhood will be blocked. And one in the ministry must value very highly not only his fellow ministers, but also others who help to show and prove his effectiveness in his ministry. And that's such as the entire congregation, such as his family. The main point, I guess, for whoever this morning, wherever we are in the body of Christ, I want to emphasize and underline is the part of honesty. The Bible couples together love and truth. Not honesty in word only, but it is an honesty of soul. A truth of being, and integrity of heart, inside honesty. John wrote in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, when we walk in truth, it is truth of heart and soul, which is a kind of life flowing from God. We were made in God's image, were we not? And that means we were made to be true. And so just a few practical, basic points. If we are going to be true, number one, we must be honest with God. We tell our children from a very young age, God sees everything you do. And it seems as we make observation along life's way as it relates to adults, they sometimes forget about that or aren't taking it as serious. It's become a truth that has not sunk in totally because of some of the tragic things that happen too close to home as it relates to honesty and integrity. When we walk in truth, it is truth of heart and soul, which is a kind of life flowing from God. We must be honest with God. And too often people have not been honest with an honest God, and relationships will go wrong at that point. That's not going to be a plan that will work. There's going to be trouble along the way. Number one, be honest with God. Number two, we must be honest with ourselves. Honesty with God is inseparable from honesty with ourselves. If we keep honesty with God and honesty with ourselves together, we work through our imperfections. We keep growing. We keep developing trust and realizing more than ever the need of it. So yes, be honest with God, be honest with ourselves, and thirdly, be honest with others. Part of being true is learning not to hide. I add with that statement that that does not mean that we always tell even fellow church members everything we know. That we realize that. But it does mean we do not hide. We do not intentionally deceive and do not withhold information from those who should know. Being honest with others means being real. It means that we live out the things we believe among our family members, fellow workers, and friends. Those who we know best. Trust all around us. Satan is happy to provide a mask as we think about integrity and honesty. Too many people have had a mask on, looking good otherwise, but there was an invisible, at least to people, mask in place. So Satan will gladly provide that mask in relationships, but we all know that masks and truth do not go together. And the sooner we can realize if we have a mask or think that we are hiding something, the sooner we can be helped to remove it, the better off for everybody around us. And even more important than that is someday we stand before a God who is truth. And any mask, if it was a mask, that was kept there for wrong, well, a mask would be kept there for wrong motives, but that mask will fall off at that time. And would to God it would not be too late for repentance for that person. Masks and truth do not go together. In closing, remember, honesty or truth can be cultivated. And that's the challenge, I think, for us this morning, that we are people, that we are cultivating truth within ourselves, with a relationship with God, with a relationship with others. And I realize I don't speak to a group of people who are totally honest or dishonest. We all work at being what we ought to be. But my hope is this, that we walk in truth, that we grow in truth. And as we grow in truth, we become more honest. We see the need more than ever to be honest. And so we become more honest, and as we become more honest, we become more real. And as we become more real, we become more sincere. And it all goes back to that importance of a relationship with God and our fellow men. It goes along with the song, "More Holiness Give Me." Or the song, "More Like Thee, O Master, Let Me Be." I'm going to read a writing that relates to this subject. This is a writing that actually was based upon a sermon that the late Brother John Risser preached on the subject of "We Are a Brotherhood," I believe written by Jennifer Kreider. This has probably been pretty many years ago, but came across this writing again, and I think it says well what we're talking about this morning as it relates to trust. We are a brotherhood. I am not alone. I do not live to myself. What I do affects others. What others do affects me. Neither am I a Christian alone. I do not have all the answers. I cannot fellowship with myself. We are a brotherhood. When you hurt, I hurt. When I am encouraged, you are encouraged. We pray together, work together, reach out together. We are a brotherhood, members together. When I see you fall, I am concerned. I want to grow, to be strong in the Lord. When I fall, I hurt you. The whole church is weakened by my sin. You are not threatened by my concern, nor I by yours. It is because we love that we are concerned. We are a brotherhood. Discipline, prayers, tears, love. It's a time of strengthening. Till we all come unto the measure, we are a brotherhood, growing together. When I see you in need, I'm ready to do what I can. It may be time to help, time to pray, time to listen. It may be money, it may be encouragement, but I'm ready to help. We are a brotherhood. And when I'm the one in need, you'll do the same for me because you care. We are a brotherhood, sharing together. We see people around us who need to know God's love as we know. We cry for them and pray for them. We want to see them come to know our Lord. Because we care, we talk to them. Our actions, words, and faces speak. They see God's love in us. We are a brotherhood. Together we work. Each praying, each doing what we can. In the place where God has called us, we are a brotherhood, giving together. Because you are my brother and your welfare is more important than my wants, I'll do all I can to help you in your walk with God. If that means sacrifice on my part, I'll do it gladly. Your soul is most important. I know you'll do the same for me. We are a brotherhood, submitting to each other, each knowing where we stand and why we stand there. We strive together for the faith of the gospel. We are a brotherhood standing together. Sometimes we struggle, sometimes we disagree, we fail to care, we do things that may weaken others, we fail to stand together. But brothers agree. Brothers care. Brothers stand together. There's just one other paragraph, and I think I'll use that in the closing of tonight's message as we think about running the race with patience. But certainly, my prayer for each one here today, God knows our hearts, our lives. He knows where we are in our relationship with Him. But I think Brother Steve alluded to that the other night in the first message, the importance of whoever we are, the bottom line being that we are right with God. And then, as that is in place, we become right with our relationships in other ways. May God be with you and bless you as you labor for Him.